in style someday. Old dream maker, you heart breaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world, there's such a lot of world to see.
I sang that song at my mother's gravesite. It was a song that she loved and that I loved. And you know, when I look back on my life, and my childhood in particular, the lyrics to Moon River have always been with me. They've been at the root of my memory and at the forefront of my experience. You could say they were on the set list with my mom. They have always been there. The words of Henry Mancini and Johnny Mercer have always been there. Whether it was my mom singing to me or me to her, she, my Huckleberry friend, was always one of our favorites. I had always felt a deep connection with my mom, and after I completed a 12-day silent meditation in BC's interior, I returned home to the city, and I knew that my mother would be gone soon. And I went to see her, and I told her that I was afraid that she was going to die. And she said, "Well, I won't if you won't let me." And then she laughed. I told my siblings that before Christmas, she would be gone. Although she wasn't sick, I knew that she would be. And I knew that it would be an illness that would take her fast. During the last 6 weeks of my mother's life, whenever I went to visit her, she would ask if we could sing, and we sang. We had a roster of songs to cover, some show tunes, some old tunes, many traditionals. We sang Michael Row the Boat Ashore, The Beatles' Let It Be, and, of course, Moon River. We would start with Michael Row the Boat Ashore, and I'd sing the first few lines, and then I would cue my mum to join in. And she sang with such passion, and her best scratchy Edith Bunker impersonation, although she wasn't trying to impersonate Edith. And as she sang, after a few lines, a few of the nursing staff would usually peek in to laugh, always to laugh. I'd laugh too, and Mum would smile, proud of her singing, proud that she got people to laugh. Their laughter, it seemed, was as good as applause to my mom. As the music moved her, my mom would run through the set list. I'd ask, "Okay, what do we sing now?" She'd smile. "Let's sing Let It Be. You start."
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, "Let it be." And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, "Let it be, let it be, let it be."
You know, my mom always loved to sing, and I love to sing, and she always encouraged me to sing. And one of her dreams was that I become a professional singer.
My mother was a visionary in some ways, and she had a lot of faith. And just as the Beatles sang "Let It Be," somehow my mother knew how to let it be, something that I was yet to learn. She knew how to let it be.
Always, always. I always remember her wanting me to do that with my life. She always wanted that. So when I did eventually go into acting and performing, she sure loved that, but she never let go of that dream that I could be a singer. And when I was much younger, you know, a child and a young teen, she would often call me into the kitchen where she sat at the kitchen table drinking red rose tea and smoking her Rothman cigarettes. And she'd ask that I sing with her.
And we sure loved singing Michael Row the Boat Ashore in the tradition of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And so we'd sing all sorts of tunes, and it's a great memory for me. Funny how you can not know things about your parents. I realized when my mother died there were so many things I didn't know about her. And so I started to interview people and visit places where she had gone, where she had been, where she had spent time, and talk with people about things that she had done as a child, as a young woman, before she was my mom. And I realized that she was more. You know, she was more than what I knew of her, and she didn't always share those old stories. Maybe she felt like she lost something. A couple of years after she had died, I took the ferry over to Victoria to visit some old haunts, and I went to Sunday Mass at Our Lady of Peace Church, which was where my parents were married and where my siblings and myself were christened. Then I took a walk down Old Esquimalt Road to stand outside of my parents' first house together, where I lived as a child until I was 4 years old. During that visit, my mom's older sister had told me that my mom sang in the church choir at St. Patrick's Cathedral in downtown Victoria. And so I made my way to the cathedral on Blanchard Street on that rainy October night. Inside that cathedral, I felt a presence. A chill up my spine made me wonder, is this God? Is this spirit? Is this mom? I don't know for sure who or what it was on that cold October night, but I do know one thing. As I go through my life with its peaks and its valleys, in my hour of darkness, she is standing there right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
As for me, as I move forward, Mom, I try to remind myself to let it be, something that, as you know, hasn't always been easy for me. Something else I realized is that you and I were both a little bit like Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. I don't know if you remember the final scene of the movie, but soon after she shoos the cat away into some littered alleyway, she realizes that she misses the cat, that the cat is actually a metaphor for her life. I hate to spoil the ending, but as you may have guessed, she returns to the alley, finds the cat, takes it home, and they live happily ever after. Like Hepburn's character and the cat, you and I are two drifters off to see the world.
I'm crossing you in style someday. You heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going.
Also from the 1961 film Breakfast at Tiffany's, I have Audrey Hepburn singing Moon River. Have a listen.
Wherever you're going, I'm going.
to see where after the same rainbows end, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend. Oh, river.
Another tune that was one of my mother's favorites was from the 1957 film Tammy and the Bachelor, starring Debbie Reynolds. So now the hit single from that film, here we have Debbie Reynolds singing Tammy.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hooty owl hooty hoos to the dove, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Does my lover feel what I feel when he comes near? My heart beats so joyfully. You'd think that he could hear. Wish I knew if he knew what I'm dreaming of. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy. Tammy, Tammy, you
night is warm, soft and warm. I long for his charms. I'd sing like a violin if I were in his arms. Wish I knew if he knew what I'm dreaming of. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy.
We have some extra time on this evening's show, so I'm going to be airing a second radio tale. Given tonight's theme of looking at the music and the movies of my mother's life, I'm going to be re-airing radio tale number 3, which looks at her life and the span of my Irish ancestors' immigration to North America.
Radio tale number 3. Bloodlines, ley lines, and the luck of the Irish.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls were so pretty, I first laid my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. Broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles.
In the late 1800s, my great-grandparents set sail from Dublin, Ireland, for the Americas. Having feared that the potato famine would wipe them out in Ireland, my ancestors accepted the American government's offer to settle the prairie landscape of the Midwest in exchange for a parcel of land in the New World. After docking on the East Coast and registering at New York's Ellis Island, papers were approved, and they were assigned a plot of land in North Dakota. And so, with deed on hand, by horse and buggy, my great-grandparents traveled to the Dakotas, where they settled along the Red River Valley in hopes of making a better life for themselves and their young family. As the years passed and as their children grew, at the turn of the century, some of their children ventured north to Canada to make a life of their own. Like their parents had done before them, they accepted the Canadian government's offer of a parcel of land to immigrants who were willing to settle the Canadian prairie. After congregating to Leroy, Saskatchewan, and having their land parceled out, each family set out to start their new life, having left the Red River Valley behind them.
From this valley, they say you are going. I will miss your bright eyes. They say you are taking the sunshine that has brightened our pathway wide.
Once Grandpa Jeremiah had settled in the small town of McGee, Saskatchewan, he took Grandma Olive as his bride. Together they worked the land and raised a family of their own, with my mother Margaret being the youngest of 7. Although I never met Grandpa Jeremiah, and I barely knew Grandma Olive, I recall hearing many a story of their homesteading days. These tales send me back as though I have lived the prairie life. My grandpa played the violin, and he played his song for me. With a tap and a bang and a strum and a twang, he played his jamboree, a prairie tune that was sure to make sweet history. That was many, many years ago. As for my life, I grew up on the west coast of Canada, and my mother died when she was 72 years old, just as I began to tip the scales of 40. As the shock of losing my mom wore down, and as the grief diminished, I began to research her life. My journey began with some old photos and a scrapbook. As I interviewed family and friends who identified people and places Mom had known, I was able to fill in some of the missing pieces of her story. This eventually led me to the flatlands of Saskatchewan and the prairie town of McGee, where my mother had grown up and where her family homestead still stood. It was there that I got an inside view of Mom growing up prairie, and her being schooled in a one-room schoolhouse, followed by boarding school at a Roman Catholic convent in Rosetown. Mom's lifelong friend reminisced with me of how she and Mom used to sneak out when the nuns weren't looking to go downtown, where they would hang out on Main Street singing Doris Day's hit single, Standing on the Corner.
Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on the corner,
In reflecting upon my mother's childhood and on my ancestors' lived experiences, I recall stories my mother had told me about her mother's heartache at the fortune she'd left behind in North Dakota and her subsequent loss of family heirlooms that were destroyed when her matrimonial home was taken by fire, taking the house and all the family belongings with it, leaving the family homeless in the 1930s. I recall hearing that someone ran back into the burning house to retrieve Grandma Olive's sewing machine, the sole item that guaranteed income for the impoverished family and clothes for the children. I also recall the sadness and the quiet desperation at the family being separated and the parents having to farm out the little ones while Grandpa Jeremiah and the neighbors rebuilt a three-room shack to house 9 people. I think back to my mother's experience of the prairies in the 1930s. I am the big open spaces of southern Saskatchewan, where my mother played with paper dolls while she waited for the spring to come. By the 1940s, the spring had long since come and gone, and with all the children having grown up and moved away, my mother boarded a train in Saskatoon and headed west, en route to join her siblings in Victoria, B.C. She was 18 years old. My mother trained to become a nurse's aide in St. Joseph's Hospital and spent her spare time singing in St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir and attending dances through the Catholic Youth Organization. This is where she met my father and lifelong friends. As I envision my mom's lived experience, from leaving the prairie land to her family losing their home to a fire and having the community farmers coming together to build a home for her family, I recall my own visit to her childhood home. As I walked that land, I thought about the great-greats leaving the Red River Valley for the Canadian prairie. I thought about the green hills of Ireland, where my kin rose up from, and my Dublin, where Molly Malone sold her wares along the ancient cobblestone streets, the same streets that my kin once walked. Oh, I am the fiery fields of Dublin, Ireland, where my great-grandmother told tales by candlelight, while she waited for the struggle of the famine and of the drink to end. When my mother passed away so many years ago, much was lost. Grief pulled at me to understand her life and her losses. This led me to research her lived experience. As is often the case for many people, it takes a death to wake up. Because we come to realize that we do not have all the time in the world, we are called to attention. By researching my mother's life, I was able to pull her silence out of the shadows, much like my ancestors, much like my own sweet Molly Malone.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled her wheelbarrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and sure 'twas no wonder, for so were her father and mother before. And they wheeled their barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and sure no one could save her, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost wheels her barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. Stay tuned to Wave Station coming up next, and I leave you with one final tune. Here we have another song from the soundtrack A Star Is Born, one of my very favorites, I Want Everything. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and tune in next week for more stories at The Arts Edge.
To learn what life is for, I don't want much, I just want more. Ask what I want, and I will sing. I want everything, everything. The traffic jam. If there were floods, I'd give a damn. I'd never sleep, I'd only sing. Let me do everything, everything. I'd like to plan a city.
Listening to